This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Something sounds a little weird. There we go. Thank you, Scrib. Welcome in, everybody. 2:43 the time. Getting underway. Gwen and Chris. 97.3 the Fan. Thursday get together, and a bit subdued around here today. Tony Gwynn Jr. Is in Florida with his daughter's soccer tournament. He'll be back next week, so we're without Tony for a couple of days. But and that is subduing enough. But even further subdued, many of you probably have heard or may have heard of the. Changes that were made, or the change that was made here this morning. And, you know, I just want to, the radio business is as tough as any business going out there. And I know it's tough all over and all kinds of different things right now. But to have Craig and Annie, I feel bad for, you know, both of them. And, you know, my heart goes out to them. You know, we were following their show, and they were doing a hell of a job for the last year. And this was, you know, this is just one of those things that happens in this business. This was not any kind of way had anything to do with them.
Yeah,
they were doing a great job.
Yeah,
everyone here, including us, was, you know, ecstatic to have them here.
Yeah,
and but these are the kinds of things that. You know, big old corporations in tough times are forced to do sometimes. This was not just a San Diego thing. This was Odyssey throughout the country, and it landed, you know, in our backyard this morning. So, you know, everything, you know, thanks for everything to Craig and to Annie and... Yeah, I wish I could have been a little bit more on their show, but I never come to work early enough, so that's on
Thanks
me.
Thanks for saying the truth. Thanks for saying the
truth. Yeah, they wanted me on, but I was never here yet. But it was fun working with them, certainly on the round table. We had a great time on the round table last year. Going to miss them there. And they're two great people, and I know they're going to both land on their feet, and they're going to, you know, find a better spot somewhere else, because that is also how it works. It doesn't seem like it right now to them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's the way things work, you know. These kinds of days happen, and then, you know, something better comes along. So
I
wish nothing but the best for them. Go ahead.
I will say I didn't know Craig before he got hired here. The first time I met him was when he sat in studio for the first time. And over the time that he was here, he really did open my eyes to some things in the Padre land that I never really thought about, because he was more on the analytics side.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we're going to lose as well. And Scrabistan is something that he created. Scrabistan will live on, everybody. We're not going to get rid of Scrabistan. But Annie as well, this is just hard. It's just hard.
It's hard to come on today. I mean, we have to take a second, you know, you and I, and also representing Tony, you know, we lucked out today.
We
really did.
Yeah.
Because we're doing a good job, but they were doing a good job.
Yeah.
Right? It's not really a whole lot of big difference. So, yeah, I'm really sorry to hear what happened. We do want to take a minute. I know Scraby and I do, and Tony, if he were here, to thank all of you out mm-hmm. there who listen to yeah. our show and have helped make it, you know, whatever it has become, which I think is kind of part of the fabric of what we're doing here in afternoons and sports in San Diego. And we, you know, we appreciate your continued support look forward to, you know, entertaining you and informing you and upsetting you as often as we possibly can
yes.
moving forward. So
yes.
Thanks to all of you. You know, that kind of still, you know, keeps going. And, yeah, you mentioned Craig on the analytics. I really wouldn't have taken time to learn what BAPIP was if it wasn't for Craig. And he used to, you know, he used to get me on the F war every time during the round table. But, you know, caused me, like you said, to take a look at things from a little different angle.
Because I was like, what is this guy really saying over here? I'm going to check it out.
Let's see if it means anything. And it turned out that it did. And you know what? Annie, I knew before she came here. I knew Craig before he came here, too. But, I mean, I knew Annie from back in the day. And she's a bright light. That's all you can say about Annie. She's just a flat-out bright light. And, you know, she works her tail off.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's ever seen any of the work she's done, whether it be videos that she used to put together or does put together for the UT, whether it was working with the television, whether it was doing interviews, whether it was doing, you know, pieces and you know, finding out the background of the athletes and letting us get to know athletes in town better. And then to her work here, we know that Annie's she's going to knock it out of the park.
Yes.
Wherever it is that she goes from here. So, one last thing. I read some of the Twitter, and I know everybody has it now, you know, wants to have a comment on, you know, what happened today. Remember, first and foremost, two people lost their jobs today.
Yeah. Two human
beings. And let's try to act accordingly out there.
Yeah.
Okay. If you didn't like the show, you didn't like the show. That's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But, you know, days like this, think if it's ever happened to you. It's a tough day. So try to at least get that part of it before you, you know, go and write something silly uncaring.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't go out there. These people are
it's not worth it's are, not it's not the thing to do.
You know, I've texted back and forth with a few people I texted with Annie and she understands it's a business and all that stuff, but you know, Annie and Craig were coming in today to do a show. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I've been there and you know, come to work and instead of going into the studio, go upstairs to the offices, and then you know, your day takes a different turn.
Fortunately, I'm knocking on wood, and I'm being serious. I've never been through that, and I don't want to go through that, but I feel for them, and we will keep in touch with them for sure.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's that. As far as what's happening in the middays, tomorrow we're going to carry the Padre game again, and then Scraby now come on after the Padre game. And I believe starting next week, they'll have something new, different, and it'll be local.
Yes.
We're keeping it local here.
Yes.
So you San Diego sports fans will have San Diego radio throughout the day. But that is what we know.
We're still going to do our thing, which is bring you the best Padres coverage in town.
That is what we do know. All right. As far as the Padres are concerned, do we have to cover what happened today?
There were some bright moments.
Oh, yes.
There were some bright moments.
Yes, Eggy Rosario hit a home run. Jackson Merrill hit a home run.
Tirso got another hit.
There are no other bright moments. Tirso got caught stealing after his hit.
I was leaving that one out.
Padres, Oscar Gonzalez had another hit, so he keeps pace.
He almost hit a home run. He was a foot away.
He keeps pace with Tirso. They both now have 9 hits in spring training to lead the Padres. But that was all. The rest of it was Texas 8, Padres 2. Marcus Semien hit a home run off Dylan Cease in the top of the first, or bottom of the first inning, first batter that Cease faced. Semien took him out of the ballpark. Cease ended up with 3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts. Was another, you know, another bad day. I hate to say this like that, but I know that, you know, the Padres picked up Ron Marinaccio from the Yankees. And we're expecting, you know, some good things from him. Had another bad outing today, unfortunately. Two-thirds of an inning, 4 hits, 3 runs, and gave up a home run as well. So, you know, it's all going to factor into who makes those final bullpen spots, and there's not really a lot open now. One of the bullpen spots is going to open up, at least for the beginning of the season, because Hoang is not going to be on the opening day roster. He's going to be on the injured list.
Which is concerning.
A little bit, but
they'll figure it out, but
yeah, so he's going to be on the injured
he's
list.
He's their major innings eater.
He is, but they got plenty of guys who can do that. Vasquez, yes. Brito, you know, because I think Waldron's going to be the fifth starter.
Me too.
I just do. Maybe it'll be Kyle Hart.
You know who looked good yesterday? And I know he came in as a reliever, but Wes Benjamin looked really good yesterday.
Wes Benjamin's looking good to you?
Yep. All right. But I don't know how much
the
of
scouting
a shot
eye
he's
of
getting.
Matt Scraby has focused in on Wes Benjamin.
He's a tall lefty. Kay. Didn't give up anything yesterday.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Good.
Were you trying to make fun of me? And then you're
no,
like,
I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm just trying to, you know, he pitched an inning. That's great. I don't think he's going to make the squad based on that. But, you know, you saw something. So maybe, you know,
I saw it, Chris. I saw it.
You found a little get up on that fastball.
Yeah.
Very good. Padres fall to 3-9. 3-9 or 3 and it says 3-10 here, but
I think it's 3-10 because they were 3-9 coming into the game.
Oh, wait a minute. The standings had not updated yet. Yes, the 3-10 record now drops the Padres into a tie with the White Sox.
Well,
the worst record
me,
in spring training.
Well, if you keep telling me that it doesn't matter, then let's just stop mentioning it altogether.
Should I stop mentioning that?
The record, we don't need it anymore.
Let me just say one thing about that.
Although 3-10 is not great, Chris.
It's not. They've lost 7 in a row. They're also minus 34 in the run differential in spring training. That is far and away the worst in all of baseball. It's like not even close to the second worst team. So, yeah, spring training has been a disaster in that regard. And let's say this. Anytime you're tied with the White Sox in anything, it can't be good.
No.
So,
kidding me?
Yeah.
You don't want to be anywhere near being mentioned with the White Sox.
Don't want to be in the same breath as the White Sox, but that's where the Padres find themselves after the 8-2 loss today. All right. We'll try to pick up the pace here a little bit in, as we kick off our first full hour together today next on Gwen and Chris and Craig and Annie. We're with you. Thanks. All right. Welcome in. Scraby and I are trying to figure out exactly how we should proceed.
Weird show because we started at 2:42.
Right. Well, you know.
Let's just get back on the plan.
Yeah, let's just do that. Daily Gambit time. And we talked about the Padres. There's not a whole lot more to fill everybody in on. They got whooped again, 8-2. They have the worst record in baseball in spring training, tied with the White Sox at 3-10. They've lost 7 in a row. They've been outscored by 34 runs, which is the worst run differential in baseball.
All right, I don't want to talk about them anymore.
I told you. I already said all this. You're like, well, you better talk Padres. I'm like, no.
I don't want to talk about
the Padres right now. There's nothing good to tell you. They didn't sign anybody today. All right?
All right, you've made your point.
Jose Iglesias did not make his debut today.
No, but I need him to make another song because I've been singing "Oh My God" in my head all day.
Yeah, he needs to make another song so that you can stop singing that one. We will carry on with the regular program from this point on. 30 Mile Zone. It's Thursday. We'll have that for you. Chris versus the fans. The Aztec women's basketball team gets going in the Mountain West Conference tournament on Monday. They're all conference forward. Adriana Quezada will be on the show today. And we always have fun talking to the kids from that team.
I confirmed with Chris that her picture we'll be using during the phone call is of her, because that scarred me, Chris.
Yes, it did. Last time we had, I believe it was Kim Villalobos on.
Yes.
But you had a picture of somebody who played on last year's team.
Yeah, and her
name. You didn't even have a picture of somebody from this year's team. Like, you missed it by a whole year.
It stuck with me, so yeah, I made sure. I know you've been on the show.
Yeah, no, if Adriana Quezada, when she's on the show and you're watching on YouTube, that will actually be a picture of her this time.
Thank you.
I should also mention that, we have a Big Five and all of that. I wanted to mention one more thing, and now I got thrown off. Oh, well, I'll think of it, perhaps. Oh, here it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's up there. USD's men's basketball team is playing in its conference tournament game.
The Pacific coach looks like he's about to cry.
Well, he's got the lead, if that means anything to him. Right now, first half, Pacific, which is the 10th seed.
Ugh.
The USD Toreros are the 11th seed.
Oh, wow.
All right, this is the 10-11 play-in game, Scraby.
This is pretty bottom of the barrel for the WCC right now.
Well, it doesn't go any lower than 11th, so yeah. Right now, though, it's a good game. Pacific 25, the Toreros 24, and Steve Lavin, it was announced today, or at least written today, will indeed be back as coach of the Toreros next year, despite going 5-26 this year. But a lot of that had to do with the fact they had five of their top six scorers transferred from last year. Any coach in America, take their top five scorers off the team.
It's going to be tough.
And then tell them to win a bunch of games.
It's going to be tough.
Pretty tough. So, you know, like I think I was saying the other day, Steve Lavin can coach. I'm pretty sure of that. So just, you know, give him a chance to get some players back in there
with
the Toreros. But it has been a long season indeed.
Yeah, it just is unfortunate, too. We've talked about this a million times, that you could have a good player on your team. You could recruit them for years, and then they're one and done with your team.
Well,
the
NIL, somebody, you know, offers them a bunch of money, they're out.
Yeah, that's
and
not
you,
easy.
And you can't keep them. All right, let's get to the Daily Gambit, Scrib. You are on fire this week. People should be
in fuego.
They should be taking all of their gambling suggestions from you.
For once.
After another great performance last night.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Let's get to our bets. Now, there was a pretty big game last night in college basketball between Florida and Alabama. Alabama, 3.5-point favorites. Chris and I both went Florida. Florida won 99-94.
I got to tell you, Florida looks really awesome.
They do.
They look like a phenomenal team. They not only won at Alabama, they earlier this year won at Auburn. I mean, that's two of the best teams in the nation. They beat both of them on the road. The top seeds in the NCAA tournament should be Florida, Auburn, Duke, and Houston. Those should be the number one seeds when it's all said and done.
So the Aztecs beat a potential most likely
number one
seed.
Yeah, and hopefully that's going to hold some weight when it comes to, you know, selecting the Aztecs or not selecting the Aztecs.
All right, let's go to our next game, UConn and Marquette. UConn 3.5-point favorites in this one. Chris went Marquette. I went UConn. UConn won by 6.
You trade. You're a traitor. You're a flat-out traitor. You know, you say one thing, you do another. You say you can't stand Dan Hurley. You say, get this guy out of here. And then you support him with your hard-earned cash.
Do you remember what I said yesterday?
Yeah.
I don't like Dan Hurley, but they keep making me lose my bets. So I'm going to go with UConn.
Well, they won last night.
Okay. Yes, they did. UNLV Now, Chris, this whole time yesterday, I missed you say women's on this.
Oh.
And so the whole time I'm thinking, wait, UNLV played the Aztecs and then they're going to go. But I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to seem stupid. But this was a women's game
right.
between UNLV and Wyoming. UNLV minus 5.5 on the spread. We both chose Wyoming. Wyoming won this game outright, Chris, 71-66.
They did. UNLV in conference play in its last 63 games has now lost three. That's how rare that is. But good for Wyoming. They finished second in the conference. Behind UNLV. Probably two teams that the Aztecs will have to beat next week.
Well,
if they
want to
get where they want to go. That's true. They did beat UNLV earlier.
Next one, NBA game, Cavs minus 12 at Miami. And you chose Cavs. I chose Miami. Cavs did win this game, but they lost, or they won by 5. So Miami covers the bet. I win that one.
13 in a row for Cleveland or 12 in a row?
12 in
a row. I believe it's their third 12-game win streak of the year. That's a lot
wow.
in 1 year.
That is a lot. 12
yeah.
games? That's, well, obviously that's 36 games.
Right. They've won more. They've won 51 now. But they've had 12 or more three times this year, which is like unheard of.
I wonder what's...
Oh, so good
wow.
for them.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And then the final bet was, which Southern California professional hockey team would score more goals? Kings versus St. Louis, Ducks at Vancouver. You went Kings, I went Ducks, it didn't matter. They both scored two.
They both lost 3-2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was a tie. So Scraby goes 4-0. He's 13-4 this week. 13-4, that's actually winning some money. Let's see if you can keep it going.
I agree.
Pacific, they're underway, but I'm going to make you bet it anyway during the middle of the game. Pacific is 4.5 over USD in this play-in game. Right now, Pacific leads by 3. Late in the first half, 29-26. This is not something they would ever let you do at any other establishment, but my establishment. You can bet on this game live, Scraby.
The Cristello Casino.
Yeah, who you taking? USD plus the 4.5?
I mean,
or are you laying the points?
I mean, we were just watching. It wasn't very good. I'm going to go Pacific.
You're going.
Sorry.
Wow.
You're going to go USD?
I've watched USD. They've already tried 2 3-point shots. From the logo. I don't know who these guys on USD think they are, shooting from 40 feet out. It's probably not the best strategy. But yeah, I got to show a little love. I'll go with the Toreros. Come
right.
on, guys. UCSD tonight is home. And man, they are on a roll. 11 in a row.
Yes.
There's only one team in the nation that has a longer winning streak than they do right now. That's Central Connecticut, which is not something anybody would
wow.
know. So UCSD,
what's the mascot on Central Connecticut?
That one's a good. You got me.
The Woodpeckers.
You finally found one that I don't know. I don't know Central Connecticut.
Okay, I'll look it up real quick.
UCSD is 22-point favorite tonight over Long Beach State.
22-point favorite tonight over.
And
Long
they have
Beach
been beating
State.
Everybody by 22 points.
They have.
So I don't think they stop tonight. They got to do it. They got to keep the heat on. UCSD is hoping they can still get a at-large berth if they don't win the conference tournament. That means they got to continue opening eyes. They have the second largest. I read this today. I couldn't believe it. They have the second largest point differential of any team in the nation.
Wow.
In terms of, you know, margin of victory.
I mean, go look at their schedule, like
and they
you
keep,
just said.
Yeah, they haven't beaten great teams, except for Utah State.
But when they do win,
but
they
when
win
they
big.
Win, they win by 20 or 30
yeah.
every time.
I'm going to go UCSD, too. And also, Chris, I didn't get a chance to tell you this yet, but we have your guy that wrote the UCSD article on tomorrow.
Good.
So we'll talk, and we have Mark Ziegler. So we'll be going Aztecs and we'll be going UCSD.
Cover tomorrow. Them both tomorrow. That's
yeah.
good for us. On the women's side tonight, Big Ten tournament. Iowa women without
Caitlin Clark
anymore. They're still favored by 1.5.
Wait,
over
people still play basketball at Iowa now that Caitlin
yes,
Clark's
right.
gone?
Yes, the program carried on after she left.
How?
I know. They're favored by 1.5 over Michigan State. This is a Big Ten, I think, second round game. I don't know what to tell you.
Thanks.
They're both pretty evenly matched, apparently, since the spread is 1.5.
I'll go with I'm going to go with Iowa just because every time I pick Michigan State for anything,
Sparty hasn't
they lose
come
it
through
for me.
You.
Yes.
All right, I'll have fun. I got to gain ground. I'm way behind you. I'll take Sparty. Iowa collapses without Caitlin Clark. Good NBA game tonight. Lakers 3 over the Knicks at LA. I got to go with the Lakers. They're unstoppable right now.
They
I'm surprised they only have to give 3 points.
Yeah, at home.
I know. I know the Knicks are having a great season, but I mean, the Lakers are on fire until further notice.
Out. I'm going to go Lakers as well.
All right. Luka minus 2 points over LeBron. This is just points this time.
Okay.
Luka minus 2. Taking Luka or LeBron tonight?
LeBron is incredible right now. I'm going LeBron. I know that Luka's incredible, but LeBron is like on another planet right now.
Take Luka. But LeBron is. They wrote, just saw a note, four of the last five games against the Knicks, LeBron's had a triple-double. He always gets psyched up to play the Knicks for whatever reason. Trae Young versus Indiana. Zion versus Houston. I will take Zion. No, I won't. Trae Young scores more than Zion. Trae Young. I know you're surprised that Zion's even playing tonight, apparently.
He's actually played a lot more games than I thought he would this year.
Of late, he's averaging 24.8 per game.
He's having a decent year.
Just imagine how well he would do if he like could breathe.
Cared?
If he could breathe running up and down the floor.
If maybe that's really funny.
The guy's really good without breathing. I mean, he's in no shape at all.
He's a 24.8, 7.3, 5.2 average guy.
Oh, he's unbelievable. And he's in terrible shape and overweight.
And he just had 37 points against the Lakers. I'm going to go Zion.
All right. Final one. Peyton Pritchard, Boston Celtics, scored 40 last night. Derek White, his teammate, scored 41.
Wow.
Combined, they hit 19 threes for the Celtics.
Oh, my gosh.
Tonight, Peyton Pritchard's over-under is 19.
Points, not threes.
No, not threes.
He
scored 40 last night.
I'm going to go under.
You're going to go under? Me too. That's why I put it in here. He's going to be shooting everything, thinking he's, you know, he can't be stopped.
I'll say under.
All right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I don't know if you had anything major scheduled here.
Nope.
I want to pay tribute to one of San Diego's greatest... What is he?
Announcers?
Well, he is an announcer, yes, but I was trying to give him a different title. He's one of the... Well, I'll figure it out in the break, and I'll pay tribute to him when we come back.
I was going
to
say, should I be playing this?
Yeah, I can't think of it. Well, either that or play Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I would love to play Alanis Morissette, Chris. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I don't know. You want to know this word.
I will figure it out when we come back after traffic.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I do know, Scrabby. And Alanis.
Alanis was waiting all break to say that.
I know. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 3:22 is the time. The word I was looking for was icon. He's an icon in San Diego.
Icon.
Yeah.
That's
and
a good word.
I want to pay tribute to a San Diego icon.
Okay.
You said announcer. He is also an announcer. But he's much more than that to anybody. And I imagine that means most of us out there. To anybody who's ever put a couple of dollars down on a horse at Del Mar, the voice of Trevor Denman is unmistakable. And it's also in my mind and for my money, and I'm not the only one, it's the greatest race caller ever, is Trevor Denman. He's the greatest. There's nobody in my mind who's ever done it better than Trevor. And he made every race a story. I'm saying past tense. He's still around. The point is he's announced his retirement from Del Mar. At the age of 72, Denman recently informed Joe Harper, the CEO of Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, he would not be coming back for another year. So he has called his last race. Like, he's not even doing a farewell tour type of thing. That's not his style, Trevor's style. He's a South African guy.
Okay.
His broadcasting is incredible. Horse racing is hard enough. Imagine, Scrape, every half hour or maybe 40 minutes between races, something like that, 35, 40 minutes. Every 35, 40 minutes, you have to memorize the names of 11 horses and what number corresponds to each horse and what color of the jersey of the rider corresponds to each horse.
Can you imagine me trying to do that?
Imagine anybody trying to do it. He's looking through binoculars the entire time, so he can't stop and look down at his sheet to see the name of a horse he forgot. He doesn't have that option.
Yeah, that's wild.
He just has to call every horse and where they are in the race.
I never actually thought about how you call a horse race, but yeah. I guess you have no time to look down.
No, you don't look down. You don't have time to look down. You have to know every horse and the color, because sometimes you can't see the number. All you can see is the color of the silks jockey. The jockey's wearing.
Man.
Anyway, and all of the horse race callers can do that. But what Trevor does is he makes every race a story. And he just does an unbelievable job of recognizing who's where and what they're doing. You could always tell listening to Trevor Denman call a race how your horse was doing. Even if they were in second place, he might give you the hint that they were due for a big run, mm-hmm. or they were due to kind of drop out. They were kind of hurting. He could recognize that. Trevor Denman, 72, he called Del Mar races for 40 years at Del Mar. So that means he covers pretty much, like I said, anyone listening to me right now has put a couple dollars down on a race at Del Mar. You've been out there for a Sunday with your fam, whatever it is. We all know Trevor, and he's part of the...
Is he there? Did you say this? He's there every day?
Yeah, he calls all the races.
I thought... What do you think, they switch off, guys? did the big races.
No, they call every race.
That makes his memorization even crazier to me.
He does all 9 races every day, Scraby.
That's
not
insane.
Just the big race of the day that you watch on TV.
That's insane.
No, Trevor Denman's, he's amazing, and he's part of the fabric of our sports community. He is retiring. He lives in Minnesota. So there will probably not even be a Trevor Denman Day.
They can still have one.
I think they'd like to invite him out. I don't know that he would be the, you know, it's just not his thing.
Okay.
To take part in that. Anyway, he's one of the greatest. And so we got Jay Posner wrote a really nice story about it in the paper today. Well done by Jay. And according to Jay, Trevor Denman's classic call is the 2009 Breeders' Cup Classic race. Now, this is the final. It's a championship race of the year, basically, in all of horse racing.
It's a big deal.
And the favorite that day was a mare, a female horse, Zen Yada. A female had never won the Breeders' Cup Classic before. Zen Yada was the favorite, but was in last place as the field turned for home.
Kid. And now here's Zen Yada, and let's see. Zen Yada has a lot of ground to make up. Zen Yada, if she wins this, she'll be a super horse. She's starting to pick them off, though. Zen Yada going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John Summerbird in the red cap. And Zen Yada's come to the outside. Zen Yada coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summerbird is right there. This is unbelievable! Zen Yada! What a performance! One we'll never forget. Looked impossible, but it is...
I do love when I see when you're watching a horse race. I got chills from that.
I did too. My hair. Hang on. Hey, stand up there. Stand up there. the hair on my arm was standing up. That was great.
I love it when you can watch a horse race and then you see that horse trying to make its way up through. You're like, oh, and then the announcer, he did it perfect.
He did it perfect all the time. That's his signature call, but he had 15,000 other ones that were just as good as that. So all the best to Trevor Denman, and thanks to Trevor Denman for all of the amazing thrills you provided all of us. One of the things that Trevor was also great at is if your horse or a horse was out in front by a comfortable margin coming down the wire, he'd give it the old, and if you put your money on Scraby's Disaster, you can go to the betting window now because he's cashing it, you know.
I wonder if he ever lost a race doing that.
He didn't. No, he never misjudged that. But, I mean, it was just, he made it great.
Yeah, he added personality to it.
He did. There's no question. And we were lucky to have him. So, Trevor Denman, all the best in retirement. I did get to meet him a few times, Scraby, because I covered the races for the paper. And it was a thrill. You know, for me, and, you know, I imagine anybody out there who went to Del Mar, you know what I'm talking about. So congrats to Trevor Denman on an amazing career. He retires after 40 years calling races at Del Mar, and he's going to be missed for sure.
I'm still just thinking how crazy it is that he can memorize all these horses, and especially all the crazy horse names like Rip Van Winkle.
Everything.
War Emblem.
Every race, he's got to remember every horse.
That's
not
crazy.
Just like the first race of the day and the fourth race. All nine races, every horse, every race. Trevor.
Makes me nervous.
I could. Can you just play the last part of that call again? My hair was standing up, Scraby. I want to hear it again.
I closed it.
God, it was so good. That was so good. You can see Zenyatta flying down the stretch there.
Now, Zenyatta is an awesome name for a horse.
Zenyatta was a champion
now I'm waiting
horse.
For
Let
the,
me tell you something.
Waiting for the ad, Chris, to play.
Yeah, Zenyatta was one of the greatest horses in the history of the sport.
Zenyatta going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John Summerbird in the red cap. And Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summerbird is right there. This is
There it is. Zenyatta raced 20 times in her career with a final record of 19 wins and one second place. Not a bad career for a horse.
Zenyatta. No, I'm also kind of surprised that I didn't realize that they put men and male and female
males
horses.
And female, not too often. Not too often. That's how super horse Zenyatta was. She could go out there and beat the guys.
I love Zenyatta then.
Love Zenyatta. Lot to love about Zenyatta, the horse. And loved about, lot to love about Trevor Denman's call. Timeout on the floor here. 30 Mile Zone visits us next on Gwen and Chris. Scraby and I were just having a discussion, as we often do, off the air. One of these days, Scraby, I mean, you know me, I'm always looking to make an extra buck.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
I was going to say.
I'm really not. But,
well, that's not true. You do like seven other things outside of here, and you get paid for those. So
I
maybe
do,
you
but
are
I'm,
making a buck.
But I, yeah, it's not. It's just the enjoyment, honestly, doing that stuff, and I'm lucky to get to do it. But in this particular instance, I'm thinking, you and I and Tony have got to come up with a way to put a, you know, video monitor and some microphones in this studio that only come on during our breaks.
Not going to happen.
I know it's not. But I think we could honestly sell that stuff for like money. I don't think Odyssey would allow this.
No. I don't think they would either. But
a lot of the times the commercial breaks are when we're at our even. You think we're getting nutty on the air.
Yeah.
And take, you know, shots at each other and fight on the air. And
I'm worse off the air.
Yeah, off the air, it's way worse. In this particular situation, I mentioned to Scraby that the horse, Zenyatta, and if you just tuned in, we were honoring the retirement of the great race caller, Trevor Denman from Del Mar. But the horse, Zenyatta, who he called in that famous race, was so good that in 2009, Zenyatta was runner-up to Serena Williams in the balloting for Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year.
All right, well, that's a little ridiculous.
And Scraby thinks that's idiotic.
I mean,
he just thinks that's the dumbest thing he's ever heard.
I think it's amazing.
It is a horse.
I think it's amazing that Zendaya.
Zenyatta.
Why do I keep...
It sounds like Zendaya.
I didn't mean to do that.
It's not.
Zenyatta.
Yeah.
I think it's great that Zenyatta beat all the guy horses. I think it's awesome, but it's a horse. And she's a horse, and there are humans that actually deserve the award. But...
Well...
What did Zenyatta do the rest of the year?
Well, Zenyatta won every race she was in 2009, and in every year that she was an active runner, Zenyatta won the first 19 races of her career. The only time she ever lost was in her very last race, and she finished second in that one. So
I'm not doubting the greatness of Zenyatta.
Was great, great, great. Here's the funny thing. When ESPN did their countdown of the top 100 athletes of the 20th century, okay, do you remember this at all? During the right around 2000, every week they'd come out with a new greatest athlete of the century, and they did the whole century, every sport.
Secretariat
finished 16th, and a lot of people thought that was idiotic, like you. Like, how can you make Secretariat, an athlete? But people who covered Secretariat and, people in the horse racing game would say, there was just something about Secretariat, and Secretariat deserved to be on that list.
The only way I'm going to allow this is if Zenyatta would come up on the stage and give a speech like Mr. Ed.
Well, she's not going to do that. But one of the things apparently that Zenyatta was known for was the fact that she had a hankering for the Guinness, the beer Guinness.
That was one
of the things they talk about Zenyatta.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
you would think a world class racehorse drinks Guinness.
She liked to have a little.
Drink like Zenyatta isn't too bad.
You're starting to like Zenyatta a little better.
Yeah, Zenyatta's kind of cool. I like Zenyatta.
All right. Let's move some traffic and get to today's craziness of the 30-mile zone.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30-mile zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
The more I think about it,
Are you starting to let Zenyatta be in the running?
If anybody was watching me during the break, I was in deep thought about Zenyatta.
Okay.
I think Zenyatta could win an award.
Female Athlete of the Year?
Because if there was any other female athlete in the world that beat men athletes, they would be on the list.
She beat them at the highest level. She beat them in the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's the champion race of the whole year. Here's one last thing on Zenyatta. She was known for her dance moves that she liked to make while she was walking in the ring and in the post parade prior to her races. And here's where it says her taste for Guinness Stout contributed to her popularity.
Of course.
There you go.
Zenyatta's
she likes
a cool
Guinness
horse.
Stout.
I mean,
Zenyatta,
it sounds
man.
Like she knew what she was doing.
She was
dancing
okay,
in the where they show them. I don't know what that's called.
I believe, at least according to this Wikipedia page, Zenyatta's still trotting around somewhere. She's 20 years old. born in 2004.
This is a dumb question.
Yeah.
How long do horses live?
Yeah, 20 to 25 is really good.
Okay.
So she might, she might still be kicking. I hope she is.
All right. Here we go. Some of the TMZ stuff, 30 okay. mile zone.
Okay.
We're going to start with something that happened in Orlando. And the reason we're starting with this, because a man allegedly impersonating an NBA agent was arrested last week after he was accused of stealing $769,000 in earrings, and then he swallowed them when he was confronted by the cops. So, the Orlando Police Department...
Is this at an NBA game? They went into the locker room
this
and
is
got...
at a mall.
Oh, at a mall.
It's at a mall. He has nothing to do with the NBA.
Oh, sorry.
He just said that he was an NBA agent.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And they believed him. So, Jathan Gilder is his name. They were at Tiffany & Co. at the mall at Millennia. And he told the clerks he was shopping for some jewelry on behalf of an unnamed Orlando Magic player. So, then they took him back into a separate room and showed him the more expensive jewelry that they had. And then he started going for things. Yes.
He posed as an agent so that he could get back there in the rich part of things. Got it. Okay.
So after he got back in the room and they closed the door, he grabbed a ring and some earrings that were valued at over $769,000. The police tried to stop him. He actually did get away, but a short time later they caught up to him. And while they're taking him into custody,
they claim
he swallowed them.
Yeah.
So here's the X-ray, Chris. You have some rings in his stomach over here that he swallowed. And here's the grossest part.
Nah, I don't want to hear it, but let me say it.
What?
They had to wait for him to poop them out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they can't confirm that those rings are the same rings until they are passed through his system.
Yeah. So they got to sit and all of the authorities are basically hovered around the porcelain fixture waiting for this guy to finish.
It's like that movie Gone in 60 Seconds where the dog eats the keys and then they have to go wait for the dog to do its business.
At least the dog does its business, you know, out in the grass somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
This, you'd have to, anyway. All right, I don't want to even further on. Let's move on.
All right.
That's, okay.
Next one. Now here, you know, we always talk about different items that people buy as memorabilia, and we all don't really get it.
Yeah, we don't.
I think you might be into this one, Chris, because the first worn jerseys ever in NBA history. So they wore these jerseys during their debut are up for auction.
First.
Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. First game actual jerseys
we
that
know for
they
sure.
Right? Yes.
That's another thing that
we
on
know
these
for
things.
Sure. We know for sure. These things are very highly controlled.
Was Jordan's, is it a white jersey or
no,
a red one?
It's a red one with the cursive Chicago across the middle. And
that's
then
what they
23,
wore back in those days.
And then Kobe has his Lakers and 8 number.
Okay.
So apparently, combined, they're expecting these jerseys to go for $20 million.
Each? Or is it
sale? Combined. No,
one
no, it's
sale,
not combined. You can
both.
Buy them separate, but both could probably bring in $20 million combined for this auction company. I think if you had $10 million, Chris, and you could burn it, I think you would buy this.
Couldn't I just buy a regular,
authentic
you could
still
Michael Jordan
smell
jersey?
Michael Jordan's pit sweat.
Nah, I don't want to smell that. I like Michael Jordan, I do, but I don't need that.
I think this is kind of cool.
It looks pretty cool, I will say, but you could get another Chicago 23 jersey like that and hang it up, and I just assume have that unsigned and not be the first one he ever wore and pay $75 for it. I really, truly would, Scrabe. I'm being straight up with you. The Laker one the same way. Give me a Lakers old, jersey from that time when Kobe debuted. It's an iconic jersey. There's no question. It's got the 8 on there. I hang that up for, $80. I just don't need the actual one.
I mean, it is very expensive.
$20 million?
For both of them. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I do think this is cool for some reason. I don't know
you
why.
Do, but I'm reading this also. The Jordan jersey comes from his 1985 preseason debut.
Oh, that's
not even
story.
His regular game.
That's not in the story.
So it wasn't even his first game, 1985 preseason game. Bryant's is at least from his regular season Lakers debut.
Wow, I didn't know that about the...
The Jordan jersey should take a big step back because it's not even a regular game. It's a preseason game that he wore it.
I guess that was his first career game ever.
Yeah, but
no, preseason... I get it. That should go for less. It's a preseason game.
All right, move
that
on.
You collectors
out there, somebody write in and explain to me what it is about collecting something that I don't have that makes you feel makes you feel like spending $20,000 or in this case $20 million.
You have absolutely no idea what kind of floodgates you just opened for yourself.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get what your thinking is. So somebody explain.
All right, next one. Is the Cavaliers are really feeling themselves right now. They just won 12 in a row. Chris told us earlier they have 3 separate stints of at least 12 wins in a row this season.
Yeah, they do.
Well, they have filed for a trademark today, which is a fan favorite trademark, and it's called Cavalanche. I guess the fans love this word Cavalanche, and according to the patent office, filing was made yesterday, the same day the team beat the Heat to punch their ticket to the playoffs, but they are going to be using this to make money off of this little saying. Cavalanche, do you like this?
I like it, but here's the thing about sayings like this. Okay? If the Cavaliers go into the playoffs and Boston beats their brains in, Cavalanche will disappear forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
These kinds of things are only cool, in my mind anyway, if the team does something with it and wins. But I like Cavalanche, to be honest with you. I think it's pretty good. Not the worst I've heard. But they're going to still have to beat the Celtics. And, you know, they've won 16 of their last 17 games. Their only loss was to the Celtics in that span. I don't know that this Cleveland gets through to the finals even. Because Boston's going to be standing in their way. Boston's been just playing it, you know, half and half all year. They're saving up for the playoffs. They know they're going to be there. Cleveland's just playing lights out during the entire regular season. Maybe Cleveland beats them. I kind of hope Cleveland does because I'm kind of tired of Boston.
Yeah.
But that's my answer. Like three-peat, when Pat Riley brought three-peat, he did it hoping to let they did not do it.
Yeah.
So three-peat went away for 12 years.
And then it came back.
Until the Bulls did it, and then it was a thing again.
So if they get eliminated first round, this thing's done.
Even in the championship, you know, finals or semifinal, yeah.
Jack says, you do see the Avalanche calling themselves the Avaliers.
Oh, good, Jack. We got some really smart listeners out there. I like that one. The Avaliers.
The only thing about Cavalanche that I don't like is that it's Cleveland. There's no mountains to have avalanches in Cleveland.
I don't think that matters.
I think it matters a lot, Chris.
I think it matters a lot.
Now, do you remember the Fyre Fest?
Why does it matter a lot? There isn't a lake within 10,000 miles of Los Angeles. There's still the
Lakers.
What
are you talking about? There's the La Brea Tar Pits.
Okay, there's two.
I'm moving on from that. Antonio Brown, he is getting another job, Chris. Do you remember the Fyre Festival?
I do.
Years ago?
I saw the documentary about it.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what it was, because not everybody will remember it.
It was a huge festival put on by this guy named Billy McFarland, and basically, he took all this money. People bought tickets. It was supposed to be on this island. It was supposed to be this great concert festival.
Right. They took over an island. You flew to the island
with other rich people.
You paid for food, lodging, and a concert with, you know, five or six huge name groups.
Well,
right?
It turns out the lodging was FEMA tents, and the food was like two pieces of bread and some lettuce and tomato.
And there was no bands either.
Yeah.
The bands didn't even show up.
The bands didn't even show up.
It was a complete disaster.
It was.
And it was called the Fyre Festival, and a lot of people lost their money.
Yes, they did.
Because they paid it to this guy.
And Billy McFarland went to prison for this. Well, he's out of prison.
All right.
And he's starting Fyre Festival 2. However, Mexico, the place in Mexico where he's supposed to be holding this, says, we have no idea what he's talking about. We don't have anything on the books for a Fyre Festival 2. Antonio Brown, though, came out and said that he is going to be performing at Fyre Festival 2.
Oh, okay.
So we can look out for that. But
I now have good reason not to attend.
I can tell you right now that if Antonio Brown is saying something, it's probably not true.
Yeah, probably.
He doesn't tell the truth very often.
Antonio's an excellent liar.
He goes where he needs to go.
He's a liar.
So I don't know about Fyre Festival.
This is hilarious. If you are stupid enough to pay for Fyre Fest the first time, I'll give you that one. If you're dumb enough to pay for another Fyre Fest put on by the same guy who lied and stole your money the last time, that's buyer beware.
How
right there.
Do you go to prison? I'm going to talk more about this later, but how do you go to prison for something, get out, and say, hey, we're going to do it all over. Let's run it back.
Run it back.
Like, who trusts this guy? Who's investing money in this? This is crazy to me. But Antonio Brown is confirming it when the Mexican city didn't even confirm it.
You know my old story about how smart people are.
No, what?
Well, imagine how dumb the average person is. And then realize that Half of them are dumber than that.
I don't want to, Chris.
That's how Billy, what's his name, is going to
McFarland
make his money again.
Yes, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah,
to be
people
honest.
Aren't smart. Can't swing a dead cat, I think I said.
You did say that. That is for sure. All right, the final story real quick. Did you ever hear, yes, you did, but you saw The Blind Side, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the star of The Blind Side, Quentin Aaron, was in the hospital.
The guy who played Michael Orr.
Yeah, okay. Apparently last week he had a really, really bad illness, and it was so bad that he had to go to the hospital, and he was in there for a very long time.
Okay.
But he said he had a blood-soaked cough, and that the doctors administered a bunch of tests, and that he's dealing with type A flu as well as pneumonia, but he's home. Things are doing okay for him now.
I guess that's a happy ending.
That is a happy ending.
Sounds a little nervous.
Look over here.
Racking. All right. Got a minute left before the top of the hour. Good TMZ, or 30 Mile Zone. We got a couple of tickets to give away to the crucial Aztec basketball game Saturday night. Right now, we're going to give them away. Aztecs play Nevada at Viejas Arena. You can go to the game. Got to call in with the correct answer to a trivia question, 833-288-0973. Trivia question. We talked at length in the last 45 minutes about the great racehorse, Zenyatta. 19 wins, 1 second place finish. Who was the only horse in history who ever beat Zenyatta? Scramble to find out or either know it.
I'm on the show and I don't even know.
It's a tough one.
Chris versus the fans next.